text is from Luke, the 21st chapter. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is to come. And dear brother and sister, this text is best lived out in our kitchens and in our living rooms and around the dining table where we live our life. No apprehension, no worry, no perplexity. Jesus actually dictates our attitude. Stand up and look up. People that are afraid of things don't look up. They go like this. Jesus, the one who died for us, says, yes, it's going to be terrible, but not for you. And he promises, not a hair from your head will be touched. That's clear enough. I really should say amen now and be done with this sermon. But since I went through the trouble of elaborating a few more thoughts, here we go. The signs of the end are here today. Look around you, turn on the TV, read a paper. You see that the earth is in turmoil. It's burning in California. It's burning in Australia like never before. There are wars and rumors of wars all over the world, especially in the continent of Asia, Africa. There is unrest, there are refugees, there are homeless, there are famines. The sea is tossing and in turmoil, swallowing islands, and is political unrest in all of the nations that are relevant to us. Well, are we going to be apprehensive? No. Christians observe these things and we welcome them if they are truly associated, as Jesus said they are, with the end. The sooner the better. That's our attitude. However, while we wait, we don't sit down idle. We have a job to do. And what is our job? Very simple. The Lord Jesus said, now I'll go to heaven, but you go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you. That is our mission in life. What else is there left for us to do? We have received the word of the cross that Christ has died for us, that our sin is forgiven, that the resurrection is assured, and eternal life guaranteed. What else do we need to hear? The church year is drawing to an end. This is the second last Sunday in the church year. The 24th is the last Sunday in the church year. Then we have Thanksgiving and the first Sunday in Advent, which starts a whole new year. The times of the end are part of our faith, are part of our life. Death is an event that must take place in our lives before we are candidates for the resurrection. You have to die in order to resurrect. So, death cannot come soon enough to me and for me, because I want and I yearn for the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. That is God's plan for us. And we believe in God's promises. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he told his disciples that he was going to go back to his Father. And they got all droopy and sad. And he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in me. Hint. You're troubled, you're sad, you're anxious, you're worried. Trust in me. Trust also in God. So faith, our trust in God, is the remedy for sadness, for low disposition. Trust in me. In my Father's house, Jesus said that night, are many rooms. I am going there to prepare. prepare a place for you. Put your names on the doors of the mansions in my Father's house. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back to take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. This is beautiful stuff. They were still very sad. They wanted somebody for the here and now. Somebody that could calm the sea when the sea got nasty. And if a friend died in Bethany, he would go over to the cemetery and say, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus would walk out of his cave where his body had been left 4 days earlier. When there was no food, he would say, "What do we have? 2 fish? 5 loaves? Sure. Have the people sit in groups of 50. And he fed 5,000. Of course the disciples wanted somebody like that, that would help me here and now. And you and I, who have it good and are settled in life, we don't want changes. We want to hang on to what we know, the here and now. But Christ says, "Go on, I'm leading. Pick up your cross, follow me. We have things to do, we have places to visit. We have the gospel to preach." Jesus urges us to stand up and lift up our heads and sound the voice of the gospel to all people around us. When you stand up and lift up your head, you are not afraid of what is to come. And we can afford to be that courageous and brave because Jesus has already put our enemies and his enemies under his feet. He controls it all. Like Paul says, the Son of God is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty, and he bestows on his church good things. Melanchthon put it that way. He bestows on his church good things, namely the voice of the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Those are the good things that we get from the Lord Jesus, the voice of the gospel and the Holy Spirit that enables us to believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? Our sins are forgiven and eternal life guaranteed. Those are the good things that Jesus gives us. So when we do lift up our heads, when we pray fervently, and you just sang the prayer at the end of the first hymn today, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." You want it to be over. But while it's not, we have a captain that leads us in the fight, that gives us courage to overcome. We do not remain idle. We go into all nations. Just last week, we added 2 countries to our list of mission projects. The country of Uruguay, which is the most pagan country in the Americas. Little tiny Uruguay, I had no clue. I thought they were all good Catholics there. No, they are atheists. Uruguay is the size of my state in southern Brazil, and we divide the western frontier with Uruguay. We share that border. Blessed Savior is going and enabling Christian Hoffman, our Lutheran pastor there in Montevideo, to preach the gospel with more means than ever before. And the other country is the Congo, the Republic of the Congo. White, Christianized, and they welcome one of our ministers of music, Philip Magnus, that we are sending there to teach them the liturgy and the hymns of the church to support their faith. 5 years ago, we sent them 450 hymnals, remember? Now Philip Magnus is there to teach them how to use that hymnal effectively for the growth of their faith. So, our prayer is that the gospel be sounded loud and clear and taught throughout the whole world, year in, year out. That's what we are here for. That's for what God has enabled us to do. Our God is a God of action. Remember when he introduced himself to Moses? Moses said, what is your name? I don't even know. God said, Yah, I am. A verb, an action word. This God does things. He is not made of stone. This God hears. His ears are sensitive to us, to our prayers. This God has a heart that loves. This heart, this God has hands that do things and bestow good things to us, not only for the soul, but also for the body. This God you can trust. And as long as he leaves us here, we pray the return of his Son. Join the Apostle John in praying, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and